please join me in a moment of prayer as we ask God to teach us through His Word today. So, Heavenly Father, we bring this to You. We love You. We thank You for the fact that You are on this. You're ahead of us. And we pray for Your help and power as we go forward, as we learn from Your Word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. When I was a boy, my parents would sometimes say to me, "Would you say the prayer or the grace, as we called it, before the meal?" And so I would comply with that gladly, and I had a little memorized prayer that I would pray. It went like this: God is good, God is great, let us thank Him for our food, amen. Although I usually didn't pray it that slowly, I could say it pretty quickly, like, God is good, God is great, let us thank Him for our food, amen, bam, let's eat. One day, a visiting family member heard me pray and with a polite chuckle said, "Grant, you need to get a new prayer." I was a bit embarrassed, but deep down I knew he was correct, that somehow I was praying this prayer, riffing it off without any thought. How are you at fake praying? If we had been in the crowd that day on the hillside listening to Jesus, and we'd heard Him teaching about prayer, we might have said that we are among all people the most prayerful. We, as a community, prayed regularly. In fact, we had a prayer called the Shema, which we prayed early in the morning, at least before 9 a.m. every day. We prayed it again before 9 p.m., and throughout the day, we had prayer times. We had a beautiful prayer, a series of 18 prayers called the Shemona Esra, and we would pray that each day. We would pray about everything because we believed that God was to be invited into every circumstance. We wanted to acknowledge that He was there and involved and overseeing everything. And we attached great significance to a couple of places of prayer. In Jerusalem, it was the temple. It was the synagogue in other communities, our places of worship. So much so that we began to believe that these places gave prayer an extra bump, maybe an extra power boost. It would be kind of like believing that during these days of the coronavirus, you can't really pray unless you're in the church. Or perhaps that if your family member is sick and you can just get him or her to the most famous preacher, that somehow God will more likely heal the person. Or that if you just know the right formula for praying, God will make you wealthy. All of these kinds of attitudes can lead to a sort of fake prayer. What's the cure for this? What does Jesus say about this in His Sermon on the Mountainside that day? He begins with this in our text today in Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, for hypocrites, prayer was pray acting, not really communicating with God. The word hypocrite in the Greek language was actually the word used for an actor or an interpreter. For example, the Greek chorus would sing the plot, and the interpreter, the hypocrite, would interpret that for the audience. And so the word came to mean someone who was not the real deal, but who was standing in representing something he was not. And so this is carried forward into the New Testament understanding of the word hypocrite. It came to mean someone who was spiritually blind even to one's own darkened condition. Someone who thought everyone else should be like you, but you couldn't even see that your devotion was really just to your religious traditions and habits and not to God Himself. And so this is the audience that Jesus is particularly confronting that day as he speaks about this. Now, as we've heard, there were prescribed times of prayer, and this was very important. It still is. They had times of prayer in the morning, at noon, at 3 p.m., and so on throughout the day. And Jesus was confronting the fact that sometimes if you got good enough at calculating the time, you could be on the temple steps, perhaps the synagogue steps or the synagogue area, or at a busy intersection where there were quite a few people moving about at, say, 3 in the afternoon. And at the time of prayer then, you could lift your hands, palms up, lower your head, and in front of everybody display your deep devotion to God. The problem of fake prayer wasn't new. Jeremiah asked God why people could do evil and then fake like they knew God. Jeremiah prayed, "Your name is on their lips, but you are far from their hearts. But as for me, Lord, you know my heart. You see and test my thoughts." The Father isn't interested in publicity prayer. Scott McKnight put it well. He said, "They got the good they wanted, but what they wanted wasn't good." When we pray to be seen or heard by people, or even to impress ourselves, then that's the whole reward. That's the only reward there is. When we pray for publicity, we get the publicity, period. But we need to recover from that sort of attitude. So how do we do that? We believe that God sees you. God sees you. One of our children recently recovered from COVID-19. And on the phone to him, I said to him, "Look, if you need me, I'll be there in a heartbeat." At that point, I didn't care about my own well-being, and I wasn't concerned about restrictions or regulations. All I cared about was his well-being. Not that my presence could have made a great deal of difference, but I was available as his father. Your heavenly Father sees you and is available to you at all times. He sees you and all that you're doing. Jesus contrasted fake prayer with real prayer here. He says, "But when you pray, go away to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Pray like God sees you, because he does. Fake prayer results from faith in people who we can see, trying to please them, or perhaps even the person in the mirror. Real prayer results from praying to our Father whom we cannot see, but whom we cannot fool. He sees everything, knows everything about us. Jesus modeled this kind of heartfelt interaction with his heavenly Father when he was facing his darkest time. On his way to the cross, he knew it was coming. He took his disciples to an olive garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in that olive garden, he left most of them in one spot, took Peter, James, and John a little further, and then he prayed by himself when he left them alone. And he prayed that his Father, he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." It isn't that Jesus is against public praying. In fact, one of the most well-known prayers in the Old Testament or prayer experiences was that of Daniel when he prayed with his window open, even after the king had issued an edict saying that no one could pray to any god except the king himself for a whole month. So it's not that public prayer is bad. What Jesus is confronting here is the idea that we have to use prayer as a publicity stunt or to get a reputation. Prayer is part of our communion together as the people of God. The problem is with praying for a reputation. So if you suffer from that soul sickness, you go alone to the Father for healing. If you were physically sick, you wouldn't say to your medical doctor, "Look, could you examine me, please, in front of the theater, in front of everybody?" You would make an appointment and say, I need some help. I'm not well. When our soul is sick and we need the Father's attention, Jesus says, get alone with him and be honest with him. Be real. Be vulnerable with the great physician. He already sees everything, already knows everything. And so drop the acts. He already knows the facts. He knows the facts about you, about your circumstance, about your work, about everything. And he rewards or responds to honesty. He responds to our thoughts about anxiety, our fears, our needs. He knows us deeply. David prayed, he watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. He also prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God sees you. So the first cure Jesus prescribes here for fake prayer is to be alone with God, where we expose the secrets that he already knows of our souls. Now, this can be terrifying at first, to be this vulnerable to God, not to him, but for us, because perhaps we're not used to thinking that God can see and know everything about us and yet still love us. But he's our salvation. He offers mercy. And you pray like God sees you, because he does. If prayer were an online account, the username would be Jesus Christ. And the password would be simple faith. Not highly skilled prayer. Not stimulating intellectual prayer, not casual cool down with God, but just simple faith. Maybe, like me, you've occasionally entered the wrong username or password into an email account or some other online account. And as a result, you get a little window that says something like, we were expecting something different. Or you get that annoying computer chime that tells you you're wrong. The Father isn't expecting us to come in any way but with simple faith. In fact, Scripture describes Christ as our great high priest, who has been tested in every way like we are, tempted by things but never failed, always got 100%. And then the Scripture says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God sees you, so don't try to hide what he can already see. Not behind some religious mask or exterior or practice. And Jesus continued, and when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. The Greek word here is ethnikos. It's translated other religions, Gentiles, heathens, pagans. A great example of this kind of prayer was when Elijah had a contest with the prophets of Baal, or Baal, the pagan idol. And he said to them, you go ahead and you call out to Baal and see what you can do. And so they did. They chanted and ranted. They had a rave all afternoon. In fact, they cut themselves. They harmed themselves. They did everything they could to try to get Baal to do something in answer to prayer. And at the end, fake Baal couldn't answer the fake prayer. And then Elijah stepped in. And because God had told him to do this, when he called on the name of the Lord to send fire on the altar that he'd built, on which the sacrifice had been placed, the sacrifice which had been doused with many, many, many liters of water, fire came and consumed it into cinders, because he simply did what the Father had asked him to do and called on the name of the Lord his God. Religious traditions can sometimes give us habits or almost incantations, or the sense that if we just do enough magical words, we'll get what we want from God. This is true across a wide variety of religious experience. Islam has a sacred syllable that if they repeat enough, believe that perhaps good will come. Some Christian traditions do this as well. We can do this ourselves, quite simply, by just repetition of words that we really aren't thinking about. Have you ever heard yourself praying, and Father God, I pray, Father God, that you'd help us, Father God, to, Lord, help us, Lord, because, Lord, we need you, Lord. And when we listen to ourselves, we wonder, am I really praying to the Lord, or am I just babbling on and on? Or we may become so casual in our prayers that we're not really aware of who we're speaking to. Or those of us who have prayed for a lifetime can riff a pretty nice-sounding prayer. It might impress everybody, even ourselves, but in the end, we realize we really haven't spent time alone with God there. Or we might have our own sacred syllable that we repeat again and again and again, but is it really prayer? No, we pray because God knows you. Not because we have the right formula, the right trend, the right fad. God knows you. This is the other cure for fake prayer. God sees you. God knows you. He already knows exactly what you need before you ask. Babbling repetition. Fake praying depends on repeated formulas. Eugene Peterson was a biblical language scholar of Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. Brilliant student of the scriptures, and then he became a pastor, and he found that his congregation wanted to better understand what the scripture was saying to them, and so he would translate the text into the vernacular. And here's how he translated verses 7 and 8. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, dealing techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Fake prayer comes from using formulas and fads, or is expressed in using formulas to try to get what we want, where real prayer is coming to the Father who knows you. He knows you. Scripture affirms this. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Pray like God knows you, because He does. Jesus said, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. He knows everything. More particularly, He knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. When the New Testament talks about prayers, it also refers to how God hears prayers. It is a mark of the kingdom of God that when God's people pray, God hears. And it is therefore our confidence, our certainty, that when we pray, God knows best, and He hears, and He responds appropriately. Because God loves His children even more passionately than a human parent can love and care for one's own. God knows you. And our Father doesn't need information. When we pray, He's never caught off guard, never says, no way, I had no idea you were going through that. But rather, He wants us to come in honesty and to bring ourselves just as we are. And He honors that humility and that honesty. He responds or rewards it. Jesus Himself advocates prayer, doesn't He? He's not an advocate saying that we shouldn't pray persistently or that we have to pray short prayers. That's not the point. In fact, He gave illustrations of how important it is to keep asking God for our needs, to interact by faith. But His point here is that God doesn't lack information. It's not that He's not informed. He already knows everything. It is an act of persistent faith to pray. Pray like He knows you, because He does. So how do we respond? to Jesus' teaching today about prayer. Without adding more formulas, what we can say is be frequent in prayer. Twice here, Jesus says, when you pray. It is assumed that the one who knows the Father, who loves God, who follows Jesus Christ, will be a prayer. When you pray, be frequent in prayer. Be disciplined in your prayer. He's not saying we shouldn't have disciplined prayer times. Those were good things. They still are. One of the things I found useful is to set my alarm for mid-morning and mid-afternoon, just as a prayer prompter, to remind me again to pray. It might be brief, but it's to augment my main prayer time, which happens to be early in the morning. You may have a different rhythm to your life, a different schedule, but disciplined prayer bleeds into a life of prayer. It's just like being part of your local church. You need to be committed somewhere or you're committed nowhere. So to be committed to prayer sometime means that you'll be committed to learning to pray throughout your lifetime, throughout your daytime. So be frequent in prayer. And then be familiar in prayer. Be familiar with the Father because your Father sees you. Be familiar with Him. Be vulnerable. Share your heart, your fear, your anxiety, your worries, your joys. Be familiar with God in prayer. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden. And then be focused in prayer. Your Father knows everything. Be specific. Be real with Him. Keep it simple. Remember, the Lord Jesus is the username, and simple faith is the password to prayer. Keep approaching Him in that focused manner. God knows you. He knows exactly what you need before you ask. And then again, I'd like to invite you to join us for this time of prayer next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, where we have a short time talking about prayer, but mostly time to pray. And then as you decide you're going to do that, watch how many things crop up and try and keep you from being there. Just take note of that. Family things, interruptions, other priorities, fatigue, perhaps illness. Some things will come along and say, oh, you don't really need to do that. So pray about that. Be ready to pray about being available to pray. So again, be frequent in prayer. Be familiar in prayer. Be focused in prayer. Come to School of Prayer. The Zoom link will arrive in your inbox this week. Dutch Sheets shared a story about how he was in Guatemala in a hospital because he and his team had been invited there to come to pray for a woman who had tuberculosis. And so they arrived, they prayed over her. The woman in the next bed was listening intently. She got their attention, and she explained how her hands were curled back and her feet were curled up because of a botched surgical procedure that had cut a nerve near her spine. Filled with compassion, the team prayed for this woman. And then they moved on to pray for someone else who wanted prayer. They turned abruptly when they heard this woman screaming and shrieking about a miracle, waving her healed hands frantically and her restored feet. The place erupted with faith as now everybody wanted prayer for healing. They shared Christ and found several people who received Christ. One woman who was scheduled for surgery the next day went home healed instead. The woman with tuberculosis went home well. And of course, the woman with the damaged limbs was healed. Sheets writes, I don't want to mislead you into thinking that miracles will always happen as easily as they did on these two occasions. However, we can bring individuals into contact with God, and that is the very meaning of the word intercession. Pray like God knows you. Pray from a heart of worship. The team is going to lead us in this song, and I encourage you, as you join in, to come to the Father with all that you are. Don't hold anything back. He is ready to continue to reveal his love to you. And he is wide open to you revealing your heart to him. He already sees everything, already knows everything, including exactly what you need.